morning. My name is Janita Klopper-Lowes, also a member of the committee, and I represent the DA.
My name is Sharma Natu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, I'm Andrew.
Good morning, I'm Andrew Smith, and I'm with TMG.
Good morning, I'm Zulik Mazula. I'm from New Street.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Christopher and I'm from Sydney.
And then we're going to follow this up by just informing the members of some of the achievements already that we've had in this particular area. And I must say I'm feeling privileged. Other times that I've come here, I was the one who would be one of the people who answered the question. But this time around, I'm going to do the presentation and other people will provide answers for all the difficult questions. Okay. techniques of ball notation. Based on knowledge, how forces, materials, and processes generate facilities, economic, social, environmental development. And I think what is important to note here is that the difference between this strategy and its ancestors is that we previously focused very much on the science and technology side of things. And now what we're trying to do with the ball economy is to say, how does it then get out of just the science and technology to being something more green, something that will have an impact socially and economically, and also in terms of the environment. Basically, what this strategy enables us to do is to respond more directly to global challenges. We talked here about the disease burden, the food security, and of course, just ensuring that our industry in the area is competitive. We also are having to deal with the challenges of climate change and energy requirements. And both of these, we see that the bio economy has got an essential role to play. We also see this as a future engine for growth. And the important thing to note here is just as much as we are a country that is endowed with a lot of mineral resources, we also are one of the most biodiverse countries in the world. And hence, we need to have a plan on how we're going to utilize this biodiversity to our own development. So basically here we're looking at science-based bio solutions. We're looking at the manufacture of high-protein products, biopharmaceuticals, vaccines, the production of bulk improvement and adaptation of crops, and the remedying of industrial and municipal waste. I have mentioned this document has got its own ancestors in terms of the policies, in terms of the strategies, and in terms of the institutions as well that had initially endeavored to create a foundation for this. In 2001, the department released the National Biotechnology Strategy, which had given birth to a number of biotechnology regional innovation centers. And we also have the National Research Strategy of 2002, which also had highlighted the role of biotechnology can play in the economy. But with the development of the 10-year innovation plan and the subsequent establishment of the Technology Innovation Agency, these regional centers in biotechnology were merged into TRIAC in 2009. But ultimately, one of the pillars of the 10-year innovation strategy was what we call the farmer to farmer, which was mainly saying, how do we in our economy move from the farm to the pharmacy, whether you're looking at how to utilize plants for culture or for drug manufacturing, etc. And this bioeconomy strategy very much a response into how to create space for that particular grand challenge to be realized. What we're looking at basically is that we want this strategy to be central to the functioning of the NSI by 2020, but also that our economy becomes a central contributor to the economy by 2050, and we're looking at 5% of that. In terms of the context of the bioeconomy strategy, this is a very complex area of work. One needs to have a certain level of sophistication to be able to operate and succeed in this particular area. Obviously, we're not looking at just one single outcome, but the impact that it has on agriculture, it has in industry, whether you're looking at soil control, soil products, soil manufacturing. So it is really an area that leads to multiple outcomes or impacts. The challenge, of course, is that there is a very limited local market and it's a highly competitive one globally. We are obviously cognizant of the fact that there's no large volunteer company in South Africa. And in most cases, we find that this being a very R&D intensive area, it helps when we've got many large companies who then in many cases sort of take ownership of some of the IPs and even the technologies that come with So this is really for us one of the areas that still need to be looked at. We also are working on ensuring that the fragmentation of the system is actually dealt with, so that we create the fertile ground for the successful implementation not only of this particular strategy but of many other strategies. So the consolidation of the currency in a manner that it becomes less fragmented is going to be useful. And as we present going forward, you will see some of the activities that we've engaged in and the departments that we're working on now to try and make sure that this becomes a reality. Of course, we need to have sufficient industry and government pool and market relevance in order to be successful in this area. We've got a number of challenges, but these very same challenges are also opportunities for this strategy. For example, the issue of large but underemployed rural communities, the high burden of diseases, the fact that we do have pockets of excellence in R&D, but we cannot shun away from the fact that there is still underinvestment in innovation opportunities. There is an increasing global food quality standard, and that's the one thing that I've also mentioned, that when you look at doing work here, you actually need to have a certain level of sophistication because of the standards globally. Whether you're looking at food...
Just one
also have to deal with the issue of underutilized but substantial lives of population, the need for continual improvement of commercially relevant plants and animals, and also the need to revitalize the certain labor intensive industry to maintain the global competitiveness. And here we're looking at industries that, such as sugar and forestry that are going to be highly dependent on the strategy. There is a need, of course, also reduce the carbon footprint in terms of us moving towards a green economy and the commercialization and mainstreaming of IKS biodiversity products, the challenge of dealing with climate change as well. And I think just to emphasize, the fact that we are highly biodiverse country has also meant that in areas such as IKS on sustainable systems, we also have a lot of opportunities that to this day sometimes are not as exploited as we would have wanted to be. But basically, the strategy has got a focus or an impact on a number of areas. We're looking at the...
Just be careful of this system here. It's of you must, when you are using it, it's just as of itself. Not be careful, it's just not of you.
Okay, I've got people who keep reminding me that some of these things are now offline. We in order to really build it, you need a large basic research foundation, the capacity and skills development, and we're going to be speaking to this because unless you build that capacity to be able to do top or world-class research, this strategy will definitely remain a pipeline. So we really are having some initiatives to try and build that. The building of various technology platforms and centers of competence, and also looking at pre-commercial infrastructure. And this is a very critical area because basically while there might have been investments which we could still complain that it's not enough on basic research infrastructure, but we still need to make sure that in terms of innovation and pre-commercial infrastructure, we have the investment that goes in there. The challenge in terms of just making sure that this area being very highly contested, one needs to also make sure that the IT management strategies are in place so that you can be able to make sure that you don't lose intellectual property on especially those areas where the knowledge and the material belongs to you. This strategy is developed very much in line with other strategies in government, and this is very important because as we go forward, we learn that the implementation is not just going to be about the Department of Science and Technology. So hence, it was necessary for us to make sure that there is a reflection on the new growth path, the green economy across the industrial policy action plan, and also the national development plan. And this we find very useful, and we're not just listing this, we also, in the process of development of the strategy, have had engagement and guidance from the relevant stakeholders. And this is really just to reflect on the various government departments that we work with and just identifying the various roles. And these roles include who's going to be central in terms of the driving of innovation, prioritizing, of course, the issue of mental health development, and then the implementation of the strategy, and most critically also the area of funding. So one can see that we have make sure that all the relevant government departments, whether it's health, trade and industry, agriculture, environmental affairs, high education and training, economic development, energy, you name them, they have been part of the process in terms of the development. And in terms of the implementation as well going forward, given where in the economy this strategy is going to touch, these departments will have various roles to play. In terms of the roles, we're looking at the issue of governance and the strategic oversight, which basically is going to be lying under various government departments. And we're looking here, for example, in terms of policy development, facilitation and coordination, as well as the integration of implementation plans, the regulations, etc. The implementation, we've got a range of institutions, and we are also going to try to deal with a lot of public-private partnerships in order to make sure that it's a reality. Ultimately, for these to have the desired impact in the economy and socially, there is a need for industrialization and economic development, and we're looking at who's going to play the role there, the venture capitalists, various industrial partners, and of course, we need to make sure that we've got the market for all the various products. The value chain, the strategy goes the whole way, from research up until commercialization. And in the process, there's going to be a whole lot of movement between concept, manufacturing, productization, development, and in every step, this is not going to be a linear process, as we sometimes repeat the value chain as a line from start to the beginning, but there's going to be times when there's going to be back and forth between the commercialization and research and concepts and development. Of course, there's a number of enablers that we need in order for this strategy to be realized. I've indicated that the only way to do work in this area is to be world class. Otherwise, then you get left behind and you cannot have the impact that you desire. They say innovation and technology walk on two feet or two legs, and here human capital is going to be very central in us achieving our goals. We also need to be at the center or at the forefront of the development of the new generation technology and making sure that the gaps in the innovation cycle are closed. But while doing this, we are going to be guided, of course, by the national priority, making sure that there is access to global IT and knowledge pools, because when you deal with world-class research, of course, you are going to need to have access to the world brains and knowledge. And we don't want to do this with the regard of ethics, so there is going to be a lot of focus also on issues around ethical handling of issues. One of the challenges around strategies such as this is, of course, that you might be doing a lot of good things, but if you don't communicate what you do so that you work not only with the communities but also with all stakeholders, government, civil society, etc., we're going to need to make sure that we fully communicate what we're doing so that people can have an understanding, because it gets quite contested, this area of bioeconomy. And we also need to establish various incentives to make sure that our programs are successful. And then there's also going to be a need for us to say, on various stages, where is the leadership going to be, so that we don't sit in situation where we start to see things and say, well, this should have moved, but we get a need because somebody can take leadership. Our role as a department, in terms of coordination and leadership, looking at the establishment of various coordination committees, and here looking at the role of government, industry, science, councils, academia, this is where we're looking at the provision of strategic guidance. We need to make sure that the projects are coordinated across the value chain, because if you don't do that, you're going to have a lot of disparate initiatives that don't talk to one another, and ultimately they deprive us of making the impact that we want to. The alignment with research, development and innovation with industry and government needs, that is very critical, because ultimately if you want to develop products and processes for the society and for industry, you need to make sure that there is alignment. We also are aware of the fact that we very much are a service department. The work that we do, and as just as the presentation, as you're going to also hear of some of the highlights and achievements, you see what sort of role we play in terms of acting as a service department. We also are going to continue the leadership in terms of the development of strategic innovation competencies. And here we are going to be working with some of our stakeholders, for example, making sure that through the various shared platforms that we achieve what we need to do, looking at pilot scale infrastructure, incubation facilities, and of course, financing. And when it comes to financing, one of the things that we also do is to make sure that we identify relevant partners who can work with us in financing some of the initiatives, because it just cannot be the GSC or government alone in this particular area. And there are specific needs just that need to be addressed. For example, the issue of biosafety is very critical. The development of strategic innovation programs to address strategic gaps and opportunities for the country, and I think this is really one area that I've already indicated. In terms of the focus of the strategy, three pillars are indicated, the first pillar being that of agriculture, and these are not in no particular order. And in this area, the strategic programs or projects that we're looking at include the focus on crop and livestock improvement, and here we're looking both for biotic and physical stresses, especially when you look at the challenge that we're facing in terms of climate change. We're looking at various agro-processing initiatives, the integration of food nutrition research programs, resuscitating and strengthening the animal vaccine capabilities in this country, the looking at energy crop initiatives, the number of projects that we also will provide some updates on in terms of what we do in this area, the bio controls and bio fertilizers, very critical when we deal with issues of environmental protection, aquaculture, soil conservation, and water resource management. This, in terms of the agricultural pillar, is what we're going to be looking at. In the area of health, new or improved therapeutic and drug delivery systems, we're looking at new vaccines, new or improved diagnostics, and the area of diagnostics is very critical, because when you've got a huge land masses like ourselves and very huge rural areas, some of the diagnostic technologies that you need will need to meet these harsh conditions. And what is very critical is that when you develop technology for this kind of environment, you actually open up the market globally. And as we have seen, for example, what happens in other countries, when you look at technologies that are developed for the so-called below the pyramid, it ends up being the best technology globally. We're looking at new medical devices, human health in India, and this is a very critical area because human health behavior is going to help us in most cases begin to curb some of the challenges before they impact on the health side, because some of this can actually be prevented before they happen. And the environmental determinant of health is another critical area. So when we talk about improved drugs, we are specifically looking forward to focus on those priority areas, especially those we're looking at the role of African traditional medicine. And we know the crisis diseases, for example, looking at HIV, AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, etc. But we are also looking at a focus on what is now becoming problematic diseases in terms of those non-communicable diseases that are now becoming a huge problem in the country. What I see is like basically just looking at the value chain in terms of what we're going to be doing. In terms of the African traditional medicine, this is to indicate that this is an area that we're looking at, but also recognizing the various knowledge holders, especially those people who have the knowledge that has been driven through the generation by word of mouth, perhaps without being codified and published, that this knowledge needs to be utilized. And we have learned from a number of countries that have done that successfully, and we think that in making progress going forward, this area is going to become very critical in the implementation of the strategy. Coming closer to the end of the presentation, looking at the industrial and environmental sector, we're looking at bulk-based chemicals, specifically here the bulk and specialty chemicals, the bulk catalysts, raw control products and various additives. We also are looking at raw materials in terms of raw composites and power polymers, and power energy, the various sources of raw diesel, raw ethanol, and raw ethanol, and power gas. And again, we try to have education because they help us deal with the challenges of protecting our environment against the challenges that we've seen coming through fossil fuels based energy. And of course, the sustainable environmental management is very important. The role of the biosciences in waste management is quite a big industry, looking at aspects of biology, raw mortality, and raw production. And this some of these areas will find their application even in areas such as mining, etc. We're looking at also the issue of power remediation of domestic and industrial wastewater. We know that our country is a water scarce one, and it is important therefore that we look at what power this strategy can do in terms of contributing to the power remediation of wastewater. Here, these are some of the indicators that we are going to be looking at in terms of measuring the impact that we're going to have. We're going to be at the highest level measuring the impact on the global economy. And here is looking at how this strategy has contributed to the GDP. And we're looking at having some measurables in terms of how this is done. For example, we can easily look at the technology balance of payment in terms of volume of innovation output, the number of raw innovation firms, including those dedicated to raw innovation, looking at specific sectors. Human capital development, this is very easy to measure in terms of not only the traditional master's and PhD, but also looking at the impact we've made on those innovation skills and entrepreneurial skills. R&D, the normal output in terms of R&D, whether it is in publication, patent, and the number of regulatory approvals. And then, of course, looking at commercialization, what sort of products and what numbers of those that we commercialize, or the services that have been taken up. And, of course, we need to make sure that our system is highly coordinated. In terms of the next step, I'm going to just briefly ask Ben to explain to us, having launched this strategy, what are going to be the EDA next steps which we have now started to do.
Thank you very much, DDG. Honorable members, I'll just be brief on the next steps. We are in the process of setting up a coordinating committee that will assist the department in developing implementation plans that will talk to each of the three sectors. So there will be one for agriculture, one for health, and one for industry, so environments. These implementation plans will then flesh out the detail of the strategy. The strategy still is a high-level document that talks to the priority issues, but what we want to do is unpack them and talk to the development of the system of innovation and the key themes that need to be focused on in terms of priority programs. We have already had two initial meetings with the coordinating committees for agriculture and industry and environment. They include, as Mbeneli has said, various government departments, industry, academia, and science councils, and we have plotted a way forward. Ultimately, by the before the end of the year, we want to have these implementation plans that will talk not only to what we are going to be doing, but will also come with an associated budget. These implementation plans then will be submitted firstly to the Department of Science and Technology, EXCO, for approval. Subsequently, the intention is to take it to the DG Economic Cluster, and following that, the intention is then to submit to Treasury for funding for implementation of the bioeconomy strategy. Is that sufficient?
Honorable members, I think it's important for us to also take this opportunity to inform you of some of the successes that we have already in this particular area. Because even though the strategy was finalized and only done this year, work within the strategy itself has been going on. And I'm just going to ask Lodina to share with you some of these achievements, the announcement of some of these actually as recently as this Monday, so she's just going to share with us that with.
Honourable members, I don't know if you've seen it, copies is available. There was an announcement of the breakthrough, and I just want to remind you, the woman that they are that's behind this announcement is actually one of the ladies she's meeting with Leila. When you visit Bill and Leila, by being part of the Caprisa study, she's one of the persons, unfortunately, positive. But by staying on this study and allowing us to have regular blood samples, we were actually able to notice the announcement for international breakthrough. It also seems it's still very, very early stage, but it seems that we might be on the way to find a cure for HIV. It's very, very early stage, but it's a lady that you've actually met. And I think that's why we need it, especially because you have been doing it better. There's a seaside in action. So that was the announcement. But tell me
is she one of the patients who saw?
No. But she didn't work there. We don't want to disclose exactly what's the name of the lady. But you've been to where she's living, you've seen the circumstances. Then earlier in the year, in January, we at the end of January, we actually made the announcement of we start looking at co-funding of health innovation initiatives with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And what is very interesting is that the money is being made available to South African scientists, and there is no normal strings attached to it. This is really to encourage science to happen within South Africa. So we're very proud of the work that's happening there. And one of the major areas where that money is going to be utilized is within TB vaccine research, as well as the development of TB biomarkers, and then also to take the work happening in the malaria candidate drug, to take that further. We hope to get the NCC approval to go into clinical trials in April, May at the latest, where the first into human studies for the candidate malaria drug will be done at the University of Cape Town. So it's a drug developed at the University of Cape Town. We're doing all the steps necessary actually in South Africa. We show to the world we can do.
Thank you, Claudina. Those are very exciting developments. One last thing is, I've mentioned the area of the role in the environment. We've got a project that we're running with partners at the Nelson Mandela Metro Protein University, where we said in terms of alternative sources of energy, when you look at power energy, deviating from the use of crops for energy, what else can you do? And it's a project that was started using algae to as a source of energy. And that particular experiment went on, and I think that this year, which was end of January, we went to launch this project as it was about to be stepped into a step higher, the piloting stage. What they have done is they developed technologies, one in terms of just growing this algae in the laboratory, but two in terms of extracting oil out of this algae. And what we did is, on the first oil that they extracted, and having developed this kind of an industrial setup, it was taken to Sasol for various tests to see the quality, and the quality there was, in terms of the oil, we know that it has got different grades. It came back with the result that it was one of the top quality grades that we were able to develop. So that basically sent out to a point now we want to step up into a much bigger pilot stage. We now are partnering with specific industries to do that. Now, while looking at that, when they do mining in the coal sector, those who probably will be coming or who know some of the areas, you see there's always this black gas that you see. And this is what we call the coal fund. It's really a huge environmental niche. And out of just curiosity, the team decided to say, let's collect this coal fund. And they decided to mix it with this algae which they have grown. And what came out of there was high quality coal briquettes. They got them obviously at level, because you can see them. And what that does is they actually are able through that algae to bind those coal plants together. It's a huge step into making sure that you use this technology. The coal fine, which would otherwise have just been making environment, you can therefore now find it together into a useful product. So we see this as a very interesting development, because now you are not only looking at development of clean energy, but in the process, you are also feeling the environment. So this is really some of the things that we can say. We are already seeing our thinking in the area of our economy beginning to yield results that cost as we begin to upscale and getting various partners, it really looks very promising. I think in terms of the presentation and the what you wanted to share on our members, beyond the question that you want to ask is really it. And I want more want to say thanks a lot for giving us the audience and allowing us to share with you. Thank you.
Or call five, what was it? on that.
Yeah. So it really is that, but you cannot hold it together in any other way. So it just flies around. And through this technology, they are able to allow it to bind with algae. And if you have high energy, they are able to calculate in terms of how you can calculate the calories that are that particular cold fight. So it comes up as a very good addition of cold. The product which has been patented is called cold algae, because it is that particular concept. So the good thing, of course, is that we have also, there are patents that have not been filed around. Thank you.
our country, either in Africa or outside the other countries. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Gee, just to start off with, what's in the launch of the strategy early in January? My collection. Now, as IB Collected, we weren't invited as members of the portfolio. Will we? Because I only received an invitation referring to you as the chair, but not specifically to address to me as a member of the portfolio. So I just want to keep clarity on that. Am I correct? So the committee as a whole was not invited. I didn't get a personal invitation, which is actually sad. I think it was Victoria at the CFIR. I'm not sure. But in any case, also, this document, it's a pity that we didn't receive it before today, you know, to really work through it properly, because the impact of your presentation would have been much better. But to start off with, my question, the one on page 2, is there was a bill before Parliament last week regarding or focusing specifically on municipal waste. Do you work on certain initiatives currently? How is the department involved in such initiatives currently? Then on page 3, the bioeconomy, 5% of GDP predicted outcome of your initiatives in 2050. Is there a short-term strategy also? And what is the current, is there a current percentage when it comes to GDP? Reference is made to and see on several pages, and I would like to know exactly what is the relationship between you and Tia, because I received a phone call from a gentleman yesterday evening. He kept me busy for 1.5 hours. He's the CEO of an investee company, Tia investee company, and I couldn't believe my ears. The problems they encountered with Tia. Gee, you are aware of the fact that we insist on having the TR report, the forensic report. So I would like an honest answer from you exactly as to how do you work with TR. Do you have many challenges? Please, we need to know as committee. On slide 8, roles of the different departments. In the treatment of the minister in your little booklet, the final paragraph reads, bioeconomy strategy is thus not a department of science and technology, it's a South African strategy. Now you refer to the different departments, but I miss basic education. Should it be there? And could you please elaborate on implementation of innovative strategies and all the departments who are involved in that specific aspect of the strategy? Then on page 11, could you please elaborate on the national priorities and specifically the current one? And are they going to change in future? We are looking at 2050. And then also the reference that was made to the leadership framework, which is very vague. Could you also elaborate on that? Then on page 12, the last blue bullet. DST as a service department, does that link to page 14, those three bullets? Could you please also explain? The last bullet on page 12, does it link to the role of DST on page 14? Could you make reference of DST being a service department? Thank you, Chair. No. It's just you might be next. That's the final question. Yes. Your successes, yes. I read this on the airplane. I think it was on Tuesday morning. It was in the start of Tuesday. But I recall that I read an article, I think it was in Quest magazine, regarding this research. And reference was made to three patients.
the same? Could you also elaborate on that? Thank you.
Thank you.
for the antibodies to attack the virus before they can mutate or become human. So that is basically what the next step will be about. And we think it will be the next step will be in you refer to what is the exact word, the inhuman studies will be done in April and May. And at the University of Cape Town, do you think there's a time frame that could pick up to that? I know the time is, it's not something that you can, sometimes it's something that you can actually work at precisely, and but with something like this, you don't know exactly when you're going to have that breakthrough. You know it's going to come. And I'm very positive about the fact that I think South Africa is going to be the country that delivers the breakthrough for the rest of Africa as well. You must have information about how close you are to that to happen. And do you expect that before the end of this year, maybe we can use the good news to people that we actually know that they can and will be here by the end of this year? Thank you.
Thank you very much, the first question related to the
31. I'm not going to list all of them, but obviously in some of our initiatives we are working with the, for example, the Bill and the Melinda Gates Foundation, who is partnering us. I've gotten most of the announcements that they've made about all HIV and TB infection. But then the rest, Claudina will respond to, Claudina will also respond to the question of soil erosion, and how that can be dealt with. The issue of how we empower the community when it comes to traditional medicine, we've been looking at how best this is done globally. We're not entirely going to be able to run away from chances and people who are robbing society by claiming to do certain things. However, one of the things that I have learned, which I found very useful, for example, is in a country like China, they actually have a university for Chinese traditional medicine, a university just for them. But what that does is they are able to provide the community with information on what animals or herbs do they need to cure what and in what quantity. So they have gone to a point where they have standardized their various processes in terms of how they do traditional medicine. So if I have headaches, I can walk out and know that if I get meat, this is how I prepare them and get them. So I think our engagement is really basically when we deal with it, how for some of these, not all of them, we can be able to have standards and make sure that people deal with them. But also that people also know, because when people are desperate, the older people are going to play on them. They're going to come and promise also something. It may not fully address the challenge, but I think it may come somewhat towards the disease that particular challenge. Then there was a question of the issue of this being a highly competitive field and what it means in terms of the vulnerability of various communities. Firstly, the issue of the area being competitive and everything is also touches slightly on the question asked by Honorable Nongkoinana. This is really a global area because you're dealing with issues of medicine, you're dealing with issues of food security, so the players are largely global. And hence, you need in terms of what you produce and products and processes and services to be highly competitive. So that's basically what we are trying to explain there. And we have seen that, for example, a couple of years back, there was an issue about certain countries that wanted to register rooibos. Now rooibos is South African. And so basically, therefore, in terms of how you deal and manage with the IP issue, you need to be very vigilant. So that is why, even as we talk about the issues of the international system, part of the work that we put in there is how to protect the intellectual property that is generated in those processes. And these discussions around the IP issue are ongoing and going very well between ourselves and the Department of Trade and Industry. Part of the discussions we have in the actually and part of the bilateral between our ministers. So basically, to try and make sure that people don't get robbed of IP, and it doesn't only happen to local and peripheral people. The issue of IP is quite global. Even though one can say it's highly prevalent, but it does happen, so we need to be vigilant. is on the issue of the manure and the biofertilizers, and I think one of the things that we reflected on one of the slides is the issue of biofertilizers. And those of us who do a little bit of consistent farming will know that the best way to fertilize whatever you do is to use things like compost, which is basically bio-based, but also one of the things that most women know is that when you actually talk compost, it's the same way that you can use corn and stuff like that. So those really, how do we best use those traditionally utilized forms of agriculture to add weight to what we do? So that is not entirely left out, but the program might not be in place yet. Then it's going to deal with the issue of the management for these jobs. And then it's also going to talk to respond to the issue of the implications for the launch. And in terms of the relationship between the DSC and TIA, TIA is an agency of the department. I think, you know, there have been a few challenges with TIA in the past. We have been working very closely with them to resolve some of the challenges. And we have made a lot of progress. This year, as the both the annual performance plan and the strategic plan for TIA, when they are signed off, documents have been worked on very closely between ourselves and the TIA executive. And we are very confident that challenges such as TIA will probably be able to have successful. There are a lot of jury concerns that, and I cannot judge what, you know, whether the concern that you dealt with was a jury or not. But one of the things that we also have been aware of is that when you're dealing with a situation where people have to apply for funding and they get it or they don't get it, there will be people who come out of that problem pool. And sometimes the bruising could be on the wrong that she has done. And sometimes it could be the fact that maybe the agreed parties didn't get what they wanted. So those are some of the things. And that's the reality. We have dealt with genuine content and we have dealt with content that was okay. But I don't have the merit of the particular situation you're referring to. But yes, there have been challenges, there are challenges that we're dealing with the department. And the relationship is, if I have to say, today, much, much better, and it is only going to get better than it is currently. The question on the various departments that we're working on, can you continue with that? The national priorities, we are guided, as we indicated, by the priorities identified in the whole range of government policy documents. That's why we highlighted the area of food security, we highlighted health, which is really what is driving these strategies. In terms of the industrial forecast, we're looking at how, for example, the strategy can contribute to such as employment creation and economic activity. We're going to deal with the aspect of the Justice Department. The HIV vaccine is a follow-up which Lorena will respond to. Let me just start with Lorena because I think there is a lot of interest on the HIV work. Maybe you start with that and then you hand over to
Honorable, I'm also just going to go through
a question about the PPPs. The specific PPPs where the EC and government involved in this specific area that actually buy back, situated in finance, we see them as one of the major organizations to take forward the development of vaccines and biologics. We are in discussions with the Department of Health as to transfer the shares to the Department of Science and Technology in order to split being a recipient and a referee in the same time. So those are things that we want to use them as a basis to grow biologics and vaccine capabilities within South Africa. And then there's also the project at Capella, where we're looking at the manufacturing of the active pharmaceutical ingredients. We're in the process of actually looking to see what extent a viable solution with a private company can be become a reality. With regard to the soil erosion in Robert, I have the privilege to be there as well. The department as such is busy with a project looking at the use of your computer technologies or information technologies in that area. Within the field that I'm responsible for, we're specifically looking at a link with the school health system, where we provide information to the nurses, but also at the same time looking at using your cell phone technology to provide information to the children, teachers and so on. So it's something that we can add on to what we are doing to make people take away from how to use something by just putting some of those terms in the gullies and sort of use that as a technology that we can then inform the community. So we just need to apply our minds on how to bring that information and link it to the projects that we are doing in that community and such. And yes, there are not many trees in that community. The wind is something absolutely terrible there. It just takes everything up. So thank you for that, and I will actually ask our people in the health field to what extent the apps that they are developing for the children, to what extent that can just be information to keep on doing as well. With regard to the IKS component, the Department of Science and Technology as well as the Department of Environmental Affairs actually having a meeting on the 20th of this month, where we're going to start looking at how can we bring the efforts of the two departments together in order to make sure that when you start looking at how to build the industry, how do you at the same time protect the communities that do have the knowledge, but not protect it in such a extent that nothing can happen to it. How can we then enable the communities at the same time to actually build the necessary capacity and manufacturing ability in there? And I just want to take you to the document as such. On page 24, as well as page 8, there's actually two specific case studies that we put in where we demonstrate how we utilize what we are doing and how it may benefit the community. And that also then, I think, is part answer to the other question about traditional affairs and how we think, for that is actually how we envisage of doing it. So we put the two case studies in to say this is how we see communities can actually benefit from it. Now, with regard to the number of the fact that no documents were provided, the documents were actually provided on the day of the launch to the Parliament, and we can actually just from our side, it's really important that the Portfolio Committee walks with us and to take this whole thing forward. Unfortunately, internal processes might have grown with it, then on the question with regard to the HIV discovery, a year and a half ago there was a specific article also about the broad neutralizing antibodies that were discovered. Those were in that we were using two different women. There's actually, in the study, there's actually seven women who's provided us with broad neutralizing antibodies. The first two provided us with the information on where we on the HIV virus, is there actually points that can that you can start targeting to actually provide potential treatment? Now the latest discovery is that actually when they make the body make neutralizing antibodies, when you look at the structure of the virus and where it then links within the cell system, it puts a lot of sugars around it, and you need specific what they call long arm antibodies to go beyond the sugars to actually get into the target area that were identified in the other study. And what this woman has been able to make these long arm antibodies that actually can penetrate the sugars that come in the HIV virus so that it can actually then be neutralizing. And one of the things that we see is actually that instead of taking years to develop, within her body, she actually made these antibodies really fast. But as you said correctly, because she is reacting to the body, the virus in her body is always one step behind. But the information that we are learning from how her body reacts, we can actually utilize for the rest of the people. So unfortunately for her, we need to find things, starting to look at what is the best treatment to actually assist her, but her own body is unfortunately just behind. What we're hoping by looking at the seven other people, if there's not something else that we can see in that there's maybe a different way that we can combine these in order to serve it forward. Now, when I spoke about the studies going into humans, that is actually a candidate malaria drug that is developed by University of Belgium, that we hope to go into humans. That is also a very interesting drug. Is on the moment it looks as if you only need one dose in order to actually treat malaria as such. And targeting is on most stages of the malaria disease as such. That is why that one is also very important, and that's not for South Africa, it's actually South Africa for the rest of Africa kind of research project. But we will keep the portfolio committee informed as this is happening. But with regard to the antibody, the work that we need to do now is to do use animal studies where we actually see once these antibodies have been manufactured, what is the actual effect of it on specifically on the HIV virus, and then we can say following that we hope to have to take it in into humans within 2 years from now. But it's not a vaccine, it is actually a biologic. It's more expensive than a vaccine, but this is the first step that we hope finally we'll actually be able to get a preventative vaccine. But at the moment we're taking baby steps, but it is your biologics is a way of treating anyone, and we need when we get to that point you have to look at your most vulnerable populations that you will have to give that to. And then Chair, with regard to San Diego, we actually Department of Science Technology actually have a speaking slot this time. We're going to launch the strategy there, we're going to brag a little bit about what we are doing. We are trying to put a pavilion together still. There are a number of problems with regard to fiscal constraints that we need to get around and see how we can actually to have a specific pavilion there. But in the meantime, failing the pavilion, we're busy setting up those specific appointments with a number of people that in order to make sure that they understand where South Africa is going. The major components actually separate from the speaker slot, and it is approximately an hour, that's quite long, at one of those things we're going to share the experience of what we are doing as Spanish in South Africa.
Very important
to
talk
to add to the various points. Firstly, on the HIV issue, please be aware that this is not yet a cure for HIV. this is a breakthrough in the understanding, and we don't yet have it going. So we're not there yet, but we have key insight now that may well lead to a rapidly speeding up of the development of the cure. But this is an indication of the quality of South African work, and is also supported by growing investments in South African medicine research and development in medicine. Novartis, Claudina can also tell you, has invested money in South Africa as a way of getting to understand our system and being much more open with what is happening here. And this comes back to a question that was asked about how we are attracting big companies into South Africa. It's in part by demonstrating the quality of work that we are doing. It's in part by taking what we are doing to places like BIO, the Biotechnology Industry Organization, which is happening in June. We've been there over the last 5 years, but at a low level, as has been mentioned. The intention was to dramatically increase our exposure at that and possibly other venues. But again, as Valina said, due to fiscal constraints, we've struggled to do this. But what we are going to be doing, at least from next year, is committing our own money. We were relying on the Department of Trade and Industry, which is a program to support pavilions and exhibitions. Because of the constraints, they couldn't support this, so we're having to scrape together something to support it this year, but we will budget for it for next year. The third issue related to attracting big companies is the Department of Science and Technology's R&D tax incentives, where we pay up to 150% of the R&D costs of companies, South African companies, back to them at the end of the fiscal year. And this is seen as a fairly strong incentive for international companies to establish local branches in South Africa where they can do R&D, where they can participate here and benefit from our tax incentives. So some other things just to add to the public-private partnerships, which Darlene has mentioned, BioVac. We also have a partnership. This is not the formal Treasury DTI definition of a public-private partnership. That's a very complex set of constraints, but we have partnerships with industries such as SAPI and Mondi. We are developing genetic markers that assist industries to select or treat such that they are able to breed them far more quickly. Instead of waiting for 10, 15 years before you can find out which treatments worth breeding, we can select genetic markers from seedlings and say this is going to be a quality tree and therefore we're going to use this material to breed. So it's a hugely increased turnaround time for the forestry industry. We're also exploring relationships with the sugar industry. The South African sugar industry is to some extent flatlining. They're a mature industry and what we are looking to do is find alternative products and technologies that can their competitiveness globally. This is not a South African issue, this is the entire sugar industry in South Africa that needs to become more competitive. Just a further comment on the African traditional medicine. This is also a more general point. The Department of Science and Technology, through this strategy, is seeking to support our sister departments and industry and thereby society at large with biotech solutions. We are not the service provider to the communities, but we come up with solutions that we can pass on to sister departments, such as agriculture, such as rural development, that may assist them in assisting the communities and society broadly. But DSC doesn't have the capability to intervene directly with the broader society. We do have demonstration projects, but those are few and far between. Ultimately, we try and pass on the technology that is appropriate to society. With respect to traditional medicine, the role of the Department of Science and Technology Intervention is to validate traditional medicines. We want to be questions that you can access, but these are ones that have been scientifically validated, and therefore we can assure you that this variety works. So it will help in the process of you being able to choose which medicines you want to use. There are some that are validated, and there are some that you will know work from your history, from using them as a child, and there are others that you will never have heard of. And so certain of them will have been validated by us, and you will then be able to choose with greater security. Municipal waste question. We have supported something called the Rhodes BioSure process, which is a technology that is using human waste, municipal effluents, as a carbon source to neutralize acid mine drainage. This was developed several years ago, and then a pilot scale was set up in Ekurhuleni, in the Gauteng region. This technology is still being developed and marketed, but ultimately this is an example of why we want to focus much more strongly on government and industry and market needs. This technology was developed because it was a great idea and it works, but nevertheless the market wasn't ready to accept it. So we want to be sure with all the other technologies that we develop that there is a market ready to take them up. That it's not just an idea that's going to sit on the shelf and no one actually needs. It's a not a great example of that. That is part of the problem of the previous approach, which is now being addressed through the bioeconomy strategy, which is saying let's take very close account of what government and markets, the industry, need. The question of the current percentage of biotechnology to the GDP, we do not have that figure, but it is probably below 1%. It's a very difficult measure, and we are in the process of commissioning a study that will benchmark South Africa such that in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, and so on, we'll be able to measure progress towards this target. This target, to some extent, has been informed by OECD studies which show that it takes a minimum of 20 years before you are able to measure a bioeconomy impact. So this is acknowledged, a bit of a thumbs up, but we are seeking to say that biotechnology is sufficiently important both as new industry sectors and as enabling the current industry sectors such that we believe it will contribute 5% of GDP by 2030. The short-term goal. This is a long-term goal, and OECD says that you can't measure it on a yearly basis. So the last slide that the DDG showed, there are a variety of other measures that we will be using, such as the balance of trade measures, the amount of foreign direct investment. There are a whole range of other measures that we will use as proxy in the short term until we have enough time under our belts to start measuring that contribution to GDP. The leadership framework question, we have a variety of different government departments that de facto are stakeholders of the bioeconomy strategy. We're all aware that government and industry and academia to some extent works in silos. The leadership framework that we are talking about is saying that cannot continue. We absolutely have to work together, and to this effect these coordinating committees that I briefly described, which comprise the relevant sister departments and ourselves and industry and academia and science councils, are sitting together to ensure that what we do is joined up, that we're aware that there is an IPAC, Industrial Policy Action Plan, that's the but there's also an APAC, the Agricultural Policy Action Plan, that is being developed. There's an EPAC, sorry, I forget the exact name, that's also being developed. What we want to be sure of is that the bioeconomy is positioned such that it is in support of national policy. The DDG very clearly said that. It's not acting in isolation. It's supporting government and thereby supporting industry and society more generally. The service department, this is a point that I'm making. The DSC does not want to continue supporting science that is conducted in silos. We want to ensure that our science and technologies that are developed are assisting other departments and industry more broadly in developing solutions that meet their needs. So we are positioning ourselves as a key partner, and it's in that context that we are saying we need to position ourselves as a service department. The job question, 940 jobs were created by 2009, had been created through the National Biotechnology Strategy. And the question is, were they sustainable? Do we still have 940 jobs? The simple answer is no, we don't have that information. When the Technology Innovation Agency was formed, it was formed out of the merger of the Biotech Regional Innovation Centres and the Innovation Fund and the Chimisano Trust, a variety of different organisations. And what happened was an audit of the projects that were inherited by TIA. Some of them were stopped, some of them were continued, and so there has been a structural change which has affected a number of the investments. Certainly, a number of the companies that were recipients of government funding are still around, but certainly there are others that have failed. This is normal in biotech and science and technology. There's a small number of companies that actually are successful in the long term. Sorry, we do not have that answer, but it will be part of our benchmarking study that we establish now. I think that more or less addresses them. We may have missed some apologies.
Thank you very much. I think just from this, you need to strive to try and expose the members of the committee to the bioconvention, because that's where they have an understanding of what we're trying to talk about. Without that, it's very difficult for them to imagine. I would have not also. I was very surprised when I went there, the amount of wealth that is being generated through biology. And how much serious causes are, when I look at the alpha billions, we must see the Russian pavilion, it was massive, very massive, and it's an appalling one. So you can see, it was just like one place. I was very much disappointed that there was nothing from South Africa. And I'm sure you will have much more. In fact, now that the approach for economic countries, I think we have a reason to be there. And you must imagine the investors that are there. They are there, they are lobbying. There's a lot of lobby. I attended 3 meetings of investors, and some investors feeling that they took us around showing what South Africa capability is, how South Africa, why South Africa is being left behind. And I'm sure the number of jobs that can be created through by the economy is massive, according to what I saw in your conference. So it can address some of the questions of the members.
Thank you just for the opportunity. One more question regarding this. On this.
Unfortunately, I told you that the whole
I understand.
Now because the home of that community is coming now.
Okay.
Thank you.